DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And downright heat wave out there this morning. Felt a lot warmer last couple days, and tomorrow will be even warmer, even though there might be a little bit of snow on the ground when you wake up tomorrow morning, but nothing major. It is the day after the big one. Well, I guess it wasn't the big one. We shouldn't joke, because you know, seismologists have said for years that eventually the East Coast is going to get hit with a major earthquake. But does it concern you at all that we've had so many in recent years? Or is it that we are just paying attention more to them and we've always had them? I think it's actually been the former rather than the latter. I think we've had more seismological activity. Some of the websites that you can follow along with, you know, you can see the spikes that we've had in recent years. This was a 3.8 magnitude quake that hit just about 6 miles off the southeast coast of York Harbor, strike that, reverse it, thank you, York Harbor, Maine. At about 10:22 yesterday morning, and people all the way down here on the South Coast felt it. Now, I was in the conference room in a meeting, so I don't think that I felt anything. And also sometimes, you know, we get some shakes here from different things, different equipment. So it's not that strange to have a little bit of a rumble. And it was probably something that, you know, even if we felt, we wouldn't have paid much attention to. But a lot of people on the South Coast reported feeling it. And we've had ones that have hit closer to our area. I remember a couple of years ago, there was one where the epicenter was Bliss Corner in Dartmouth. And we've had a few like that. So, listen, how much earthquake preparedness do we need? Probably not a lot. But 3.8 is pretty significant. They're calling this a once in every 5 year earthquake, because usually the average of what we get is 3.0, maybe a 3.2 at the most. And this was a 3.8, and it was felt pretty strongly for about 40 to 50 miles from the epicenter. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey does a great job of tracking these. They actually have their earthquake hazards program. So whenever you feel a shake and you're not sure if it was an earthquake or not, that's the site to go to. It's earthquake.usgs.gov. Pretty simple to remember, the U.S. Geological Survey, earthquake.usgs.gov. And while it might not have information immediately, and you may want to reach out to them to report what you felt, they do post the information there as soon as they confirm. So when we're writing news stories about these, and, you know, we might have written a news story about this if the epicenter had been closer, but when we do write a news story about it happening, you know, that's where I go. And then I'll keep an eye on the USGS page, because they will update that with more information as it goes along. And sometimes the information changes. I remember there was one, not the Bliss Corner one, but another one locally maybe last year or the year before, where originally they had rated it as a certain rate, a certain number on the Richter scale, and then went back and changed it and actually lessened it, that it wasn't as impactful as they originally thought. So that's the site to keep in mind, earthquake.usgs.gov. And then that way there you can know for sure if what you felt was an earthquake. We do have a significant amount of noise that happens. And this I find fascinating. You know, as a spooky guy, you would think that I would look into some of that stuff and, you know, oh my God, there was a strange noise everybody heard. What is this? And I generally don't bother with those for the most part, because it turns out to be something mundane. Turns out to be, you know, oh, something blew up at CMAS. Not a big deal. You know, it was contained, it did no damage. It was, you know, they knew it was going to happen. Or sometimes it'll be, you know, some kind of construction incident or something. And Gazelle over at Fun 107 does a great job of tracking those down when people are talking about it. I like the weird ones. I like the ones that we had like a couple of years ago where it was a mysterious horn people were hearing. I like that better than the booms, better than the explosion sounds. There's also, we did an episode on Spooky South Coast years ago on this organization that tracks what's called the worldwide hum. That there are a lot of people who hear this low frequency hum constantly and have been trying to trace the source of where it comes from. I thought that was pretty interesting. But generally, you know, what was that noise? Did anybody in, you know, Paydenham hear that noise at 11:30? Did anybody in Westport hear that noise? I don't get into those stories. I let Gazelle handle those. We call him Inspector Gazelle, because when there's mysteries, he's usually doing a pretty good job of getting to the bottom of them. So this one was not much of a mystery because it happened in the middle of the day. And the USGS was all over it and got the information out to everybody quickly. But if you felt it, it is a pretty cool experience to go through. I mean, I remember probably about, well, what is it, 20, 25, so maybe 15 years, 10 years ago or a little bit more, I was at work in Lakeville. And, you know, I was a cook inside of a cafeteria inside of a distribution center for Talbot's. And there was always all this movement going on. Like, you know, you'd always feel the ground shaking because there's, you know, these different machines that would move clothes around and pallet jacks and forklifts and trucks coming around and all that. So, you know, noises and bangs were never a big deal, except for when they shut everything down and people went on break. And they were all down in the cafeteria on break, and we felt something shake. And it was, I forget if it was a break or if it was lunch, but everybody was down there and we felt the ground shake. And immediately, you know, the workers are like, what happened? Like, what machine went off on its own? But it turned out to just be a small earthquake. So we are going to deal with more of them here, I think, in the coming years. As long as they stay minor, I don't think you have too much to worry about. But, you know, the experts warn us. Eventually, those minor ones could be a big one. But how many years have people been saying, well, the East Coast is due for a major earthquake? But if yesterday was a 4.8 and you felt that, I'm sorry, 3.8, and you felt that in on the South Coast from all the way up in Maine, it'll be interesting to see what a big one would be for us. You know, we're not talking a 7.8. Like, again, other parts of the world, but still. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails will be open on the WBSM app. We also have voting open for our pet and pet owner lookalike contest. And the results so far, I mean, we've got thousands of votes rolling in. Thousands. And I've been watching throughout the course of the last couple of days, well, throughout the course of yesterday and then this morning as well, and seeing it's a like how quickly it flips. First one person will be in the lead, then another person will be in the lead. It's almost like, you know, somebody shares it on social media and then gets all their friends to vote, and then that busts them up. Then somebody else, you know, shares it, and then their friends all come in and give them a boost. But we've got our top 10 at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app for you to vote for. And the winner will get a $250 gift card. Now, the sponsor is Wareham Animal Hospital. They're the ones that are making this possible. But I think some people got confused. They thought that the prize was a $250 gift card to Wareham Animal Hospital. Because somebody commented, I hope I don't ever need to use the gift card. I was like, no. This is just going to be like a Visa gift card. They're just the sponsor of it. But the gift card is going to be, you know, for a Visa or a MasterCard or, you know, something that you can use anywhere. But you want to get on over and vote right now, WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And you can vote, I believe, every day. And then we'll have our winner announced next Monday. But the competition is fierce right now at the top. Only about 380 votes separate the top two spots, which is pretty close. Also today, we're going to be joined in the 8 o'clock hour by Danielle Brown of Stepping Stone, Inc. We're going to be talking about the homeless as part of our ongoing discussions with Danielle about the homeless population in New Bedford. We are on the eve. Tomorrow begins the city point-in-time count, in which they go out and see how many unhoused people there are across the city. And tomorrow will be an interesting night because snow is going to start falling after midnight. It's not going to be anything major. You know, we're looking at a coating to an inch is what ABC6 is predicting. As I'm looking right now at Christina Schallhoop standing in front of the snow total map on my TV screen. So we're looking at a coating to an inch here in New Bedford. Not a big deal, but, you know, will that drive some of these folks indoors when they normally would have been outdoors? Will we get an accurate count? We'll talk about that with Danielle coming up, as well as some of the other programs that are being utilized to help get people off the streets. And we can talk about, you know, what the expectation is as these, I don't want to call them ICE raids necessarily, because from all indications, this is just normal operations for ICE. It's just the media is paying more attention to it. But as these ICE operations are going on and they're sending undocumented migrants back home, okay, well, now people are going to have to put their money where their mouth is. Because all the people who said, you know, what about the homeless people? Why can't we put them in motels? What about the homeless people? Why can't we give them meals and give them cell phones and give them, you know, gift cards that they can use for DoorDash and all that? All the people that complained about that, now are you going to complain again now when if we start doing it for homeless folks? So we'll talk with that about that with her, as well as take your calls when she's in at 508 996-0500, as well as app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But right now, let me take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments.
I've become amused. I've become blind. I've become what I know not breathe. You seem illiterate to all my emotions. I stand corrected. How well you read. You speak the truth. You speak to me. You feel the love I have yet to find. I know it's there. I know it's there. But I let the sandcastles kill my mind. Like me, I long to be you. I think I'm close, but I stand so far. The turbulent one sheds a turbulent tear. I miss the love only cause they stop. Oil and water, lust and sympathy are life and death. My way through the sun, where originates all the pain that leaves my memory a traumatic sponge and sinks to you.
The great PM Dawn. They didn't have nearly enough time in the spotlight, and then of course, we ended up losing Prince B. Man was not in good health. But they left some great music behind. If you're looking for something to chill out to, I can always recommend PM Dawn. Right now, though, I recommend that you stay tuned because we're going to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Take it away, Phil.
Firings at the U.S. Justice Department, egg prices on the rise, and a popular soda's new flavor.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Justice Department has fired over a dozen career prosecutors who worked on criminal investigations of President Trump, citing a lack of trust in their ability to implement the administration's agenda. The move, effective immediately, targets those involved in Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigations and comes amid broader reshuffling within the department. Acting Attorney General James McHenry defended the decision as part of efforts to end what he called the weaponization of government. The firings follow Trump's sweeping clemency for over 1,500 supporters charged in the January 6th Capitol riot. It remains unclear how many prosecutors were affected or plan to challenge the dismissals. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians returned to northern Gaza after a 15-month blockade was lifted. This comes as Israel confirmed that 8 hostages held by Hamas are dead. Joyous crowds returned to their homes despite widespread destruction. The fragile ceasefire faces challenges, including a dispute over hostage releases. Israel and Hamas have agreed on a revised schedule with the next phase of releases set for Thursday. Egg prices are skyrocketing due to a widespread bird flu outbreak. Millions of chickens have been culled, leading to severe supply shortages. The USDA predicts prices will climb another 20% this year. Consumers are facing empty shelves and paying significantly more, especially for organic and cage-free options. The outbreak proving difficult to contain, affecting not only egg production, but also the poultry and dairy industries. Farmers now implementing strict biosecurity measures, but the threat remains. An Indiana man who was just pardoned by President Trump for his role in the 2021 Capitol riot was fatally shot during a traffic stop. 42-year-old Matthew Huddle was killed Sunday by a sheriff's deputy during an altercation. Authorities said Huddle was armed at the time, but did not reveal what led to the stop. Huddle had been sentenced in 2023 for entering the Capitol during the January 6th riot and served 6 months in custody. The Alaska House has voted to urge President Trump to reconsider his decision to revert the name of North America's tallest peak back to Mount McKinley. The resolution, sponsored by a Democratic representative, emphasizes the historical and cultural significance of the indigenous name Denali, meaning the high one. Republican lawmakers attempted to attach an amendment expressing support for other Trump administration policies, which was ultimately unsuccessful. The vote comes despite ongoing efforts to change the name. And Coca-Cola is launching a new flavor, Orange Cream. The soda, blending cola with orange and vanilla, will hit shelves on February 10th in the U.S. and Canada. Follows the short-lived Coca-Cola Spiced, which was discontinued last year. The company is experimenting with new flavors to keep customers engaged, recognizing the need for faster innovation in today's market. Orange Cream will be available in regular and zero sugar varieties and is expected to remain on shelves until at least early 2026.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics lost to the Houston Rockets last night. The score 114-112. Home at TD Garden to play the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night. And the Boston Bruins on the road. They hit the ice with the Buffalo Sabres tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and windy for your Tuesday, a high of 36 degrees. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy, light snow possible, a high of 38. On Thursday, partly cloudy and a high of 30. And on Friday, mostly cloudy, warming up with a high of 41. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
That song, of course, is that is the DNA version of Tom's Diner. They took the Suzanne Vega song and kind of remixed it. Well, put the beat behind it, and it became a huge hit. And I remember the first time that I heard that, I was in my room. I was living in, I think it's when I was in Forestdale. Yeah, Forestdale. Lived in Sandwich for a couple of years between East Sandwich and Forestdale. Went up into my room and turned on the radio. I think it was Christmas time. You know, we were on Christmas break. And I said, I'm just going to listen to the radio. Turned on the radio. That song came on. It's like, what is this? Like, I knew the Suzanne Vega song because I remembered, like, I used to watch 120 minutes, like all the alternative stuff in the early 90s. And I was like, wait, that song is like not a dance song. I would never dance to that song, but now you can dance to it. That was a time when we got some pretty danceable alternative music. We had them. We had DNA. We had EMF Unbelievable. We had Jesus Jones. We had... There was a whole bunch that came out then. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you want to get involved in the discussion that way. It is 1,453 days left of the Trump administration. And continued executive orders, continued... You know, Phil will have all that for you each half hour, but the flurry of activity hasn't stopped. The question becomes, though, at what point do you run out of executive orders to write? And then, you know, now it becomes the regular day-to-day job of running the government. Right now, it's just a matter of playing, I don't want to say catch up, but playing, you know, reversal for everything that Donald Trump wanted to reverse. And I've seen some statements where people say, well, what about this? What about this? Isn't this getting done? You do have to keep in mind that Not all the cabinet secretaries are confirmed yet. Not all the work has actually begun yet. And just because something's making the headlines doesn't mean other things aren't going on behind the scenes. So I don't buy into this, you know, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks of executive orders and then a flameout. But I think you're seeing, you know, now, like I said, you're playing the game of reversing or implementing the things that you wanted to do. And then, you know, where it goes from there remains to be seen. But there's questions about a lot of these orders that are being signed and things like yesterday. And a lot of it comes from misinformation or misunderstanding of what's being put out there. So, for example, ending the essentially the affirmative action hiring, that was not about, you know, the average business. That was about, you know, when it came to the EOE, where you had to have, or EEO, but where you had to have equal opportunities in employment, and they were doing away with that. That wasn't for, you know, private companies. That was for government hiring. And there was a pause put on paying out benefits and grant funding and things like that. And that's something we can probably discuss with Danielle Brown later. But people were like, oh, look, they're turning off your welfare and your food stamps and all that. And that's, it wasn't about individuals, but it was about nonprofits that help individuals. It was about the grants that help them. And I see a lot of people defend them by saying, well, it's just a pause. Don't get upset. They're taking time to stop and review and see where money's being wasted so they can make it more efficient. Okay, but what about all of the programs that are in place that need that funding while they're doing this review? See, you don't have to put a pause on it to review it. You can do two things at once. And the other part of that is, how long is that review going to take? The Washington Bridge in Providence became a major topic of conversation over the last couple of days because the delegation in Rhode Island is asking that the administration does not pause the funding to be able to move forward with fixing that bridge. But if they do, and they are reviewing, how long is that review going to take? Now, I got asked a question from somebody, is that going to affect the New Bedford-Fairhaven Bridge project? My answer on the surface is I don't think so, because that's being funded with MassDOT dollars. That's a state road, not a federal road. And that's being funded with $100 million plus of state money. But I don't know that the state isn't dependent on federal infrastructure funds to help get that $100 million. So a lot of questions that still remain to be answered. And then you see, you know, I just try to avoid, I don't really go on Twitter much anymore. Last night, of course, though, was Monday Night Raw. So as I'm watching that, I will go on Twitter and see what people are kind of live tweeting about that. And as that's going on, you know, I'm getting fed all kinds of other politically motivated tweets and politically inclined tweets. And I saw a lot of people posting things, and, you know, whether or not they were true or not, I don't know. I didn't bother to dig any deeper. But they'll post something about, look what Trump did now. And it'll be the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of, which means it's probably true. But then the reaction from a lot of people is, he's just saying that because he knows it gets you triggered. He's just saying that to troll you. And the same thing with Elon Musk. You know, the Nazi salute. He was just trolling people. He's not really a Nazi. He spoke to a group that has Nazi ideology and is got in trouble in the past for using Nazi branding. And yeah, but that's okay. That's just him trolling you. Like, I don't want two of the most powerful people in the world spending their time trolling me. That's actually worse. I'd rather think that they were putting bad policies in place because they meant it than to think that they're saying things just to troll people. You know, trolling somebody is when you tease them in a speech or something. It's not when you put out policies that people are going to take, including allies and enemies, as, is this real? Is this serious? Like, it's not good to have people second-guessing what your intentions are when you're the leader of the free world. So I'd rather it was just bad policies that you mean than it be a big troll job. But that's the response that you get from everybody if you actually question, is this any good? Like, is this really a good thing? Is this something that we want? Cry harder, Lib. You lost. Okay. Just keep falling in line and licking the boots. Don't ask any questions. Just take the big old spoonful of crap and ask for another. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Also, app chat and open line voicemails are open up on the WBSM app. I'm trying to avoid the idiotic app chat messages, but, you know, sometimes the dopes deserve to be ridiculed publicly. Meaty in Dartmouth says, 1,450 plus days of left of you being super butthurt. Well, first of all, it's 1,453. I know that's way too high for you to count, Meaty, but that's how many days it is. You can just type in into Google how many days are left since, you know, I know that's a number that you can't comprehend. But then also, that's 1,453 days for you to try to come up with a new insult, except your butt hurt. Because literally when I scroll back through all your messages, that's all that it says. Your butt hurt. You're super butt hurt. How butt hurt are you? So while you're also on Google, look up thesaurus.com. You can find some synonyms there. Oh, a synonym is a word that is another word that means the same thing. I know I got to take it slow for you. I'm surprised that you're able to even figure out how to work app chat at this point, really. But yeah. Yeah, 1,450 plus days of me being super butthurt. Yep, we'll see who's butthurt by the end of that time period. And again, we will be talking in the 8 o'clock hour with Danielle Brown of Stepping Stone, Inc. We're going to be talking about the homeless situation in New Bedford as part of our ongoing series of conversations in which we're going to be looking at that issue. And we're also going to be talking about the city's point in time count, which begins tomorrow. This is where they spend 24 hours counting how many homeless folks there are on the streets of New Bedford and in the shelters. We have an article up now at WBSM.com and on the app where Michael Rock looked at, you know, how much it costs per night for these shelters to stay open and how they need more funding. They need more help to be able to offer these services. Now, I know it's easy for us to say, oh, you walk out the door this morning, it's almost 40 degrees. It feels so much warmer, but not for someone who slept outside all night. Not for someone who is sleeping in a doorway. So this is an important thing that the city does every year. And the homeless service providers in the city, they all get together and they look and see how many people there are out on the street. But, you know, there's been some call to say, well, maybe to get an accurate number, we need to do this a couple times a year. Maybe we need to have this in the summer so that we can see how many people are living outdoors when it's warmer. Because there might be a number of people who don't have anywhere to go, but maybe tonight we're able to scratch up enough money to get a hotel room, or somebody, you know, paid for them to get a motel room, or somebody gave them a couch to crash on, but normally they would be out on the street. So we'll talk about some of the challenges of the point in time count and just how accurate we should consider it to be when looking at the homeless situation in the city. We can also look into now what will happen with some of these, not only new programs that are being put in place, but if these hotel rooms where migrants were staying are going to become open, what is the public's appetite for now putting homeless people into those motels and other housing? Because that's what I've heard for the last 4 years, right, is that should be going to our homeless people. That should be going to American citizens who live on the street. Are you gonna want to pay for that now? Are you going to want to provide them with meals? Are you going to want to provide them with the opportunity to build themselves up again? Or are you going to do what you did for 4 years before that and just turn a blind eye to them? Well, more than 4 years. So these are conversations that are going to have to be had going forward. And we'll talk about that with Danielle Brown and more in the 8 o'clock hour. And we'll take your calls as well. And we're coming up on the news in a few moments. But on the other side of that, we'll take more of your calls. One of the local stories that we had for you yesterday was that the Free Play Arcade is going to open in March. That's in Taunton. So basically, if you've ever been to play in downtown New Bedford, the idea of this arcade bar, restaurant kind of hybrid, this has become all the rage in the industry. And right around the same time, we're going to have one that's going to open in Taunton, and then probably shortly thereafter, or if not around the same time, we'll have one that opens in Wareham. The one in Taunton is Free Play. The one in Wareham is Rewind. And these are really just places that I think you'll find, because there's not a lot to do at night unless you just want to go to a bar and drink. You know, these are going to become very popular places. Look at Play. Every night they have something going on. And they have a loyal bunch of people that come in and hang out and go to karaoke every week. And, you know, these are people just want to have a good time. And it's not necessarily about going out and drinking. It's about going out and having different experiences and certainly the nostalgic feel that you get from these places. So hopefully the two new ones will also do well, and maybe we'll even get some more. Some you have to bring quarters, some you won't. But we can talk more about that, too. Right now, I'm going to take my final break of the hour. We will be right back. All right, we are going to be going into the news when we come back. More with you, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we